In the Holy Letters of the Rebbe, in volume 11, this is letter number 3681. This is dated the 29th day of Tammuz, Baruch Hashem, Tavshin Tezvah, Brooklyn, Harav HaGoen. This was the Rebbe's giving him a title, the genius. And the Rebbe's also other titles, activist, works community affairs. Namarenu Reb Avrom Arin Shiyichya. His name is Avrom Arin Shiyichya Price. So now I have, you know, on the bottom, you see over there, Rabbi Avrom Aaron Price, you see? So over here, you click, you want to see who this was. So Rabbi Avrom Aaron Price, okay, he was born in 1900 in March, born 1900 and passed away in 1994. He was a rabbi in Toronto, serving as the head of the Bet Din and the head of the local yeshiva Torat Chaim. He was one of the leaders of Canadian Jewry and a Gerer Chosid. He authored the series Mishnat Avraham and was a recipient of the Rabbi Cook Prize for Torah Literature awarded by the Tel Aviv Yafo Municipality. So this tells you a little bit who the Rebbe is writing to. You find that helpful? So you know now who this was. And so the Rebbe writes to him, he says, Shalom Uvracha. And then it says, the Rebbe says, I want to confirm receiving your letter with the Sefer, the new published book, Sefer Chassidim, the Sefer Chassidim with the commentary of your honor called Mishnas Avraham. So he re-published the Sefer called Sefer Chassidim, but he put in his commentary, which is Mishnas Avraham. So you may want to know, what is this Sefer Chassidim that we're talking about? So here again, you go to Sefer Chassidim, and here will tell us, the Sefer Chassidim is an important work that contains laws, customs, and short moral stories. It was written by Rav Yehuda HaChosid. The book can be dated to the early period of the Rishonim, 12th century, and early 13th century. Sefer Chassidim is composed of various sections arranged in collections. The thematic connection within and between the collection is not always clear and often seems as so associative. The book deals with a wide range of topics. As a work of ethic, it also includes numerous lessons on conduct related to everyday matters, commerce and finance, marriage and intimate relationship, human life, the custom of the Jewish community, and more. Its importance also lies in the value as a historical document for understanding Jewish life and ideology in Europe at the end of the 12th century and the beginning of the 13th century. Now, there is a Wikipedia, which gives you the whole write-up of the Sefer Chassidim, and about him, gives you a little bit more about it, so you can look it up. So in any event, that was the book that he published, and he called the book, he called it Mishnas Avraham. That's what he called the book. So again, here you can look up if you want to see what is the Mishnas Avraham. So you can see the book Mishnas Avraham is Rabbi Avrom Aaron Price. We mentioned about him before. And if you go to Hebrew books, you have a copy of his book over there. You can see, actually look his book or one of his books. Just showing you, so now you can get more information about understanding about the Rebbe's letter. But in any event, back to the Rebbe's letter. So the Rebbe says, I received your... Although the Rebbe says, time does not allow to look in it properly, as necessary, as fitting, but just as an expression of dearness of this matter, and for a thank you, a sign of a thank you and recognition, I did skim through the pages. And the Rebbe says, I'll prove this, because I'm gonna put down several notes. As the Rebbe writes the word mikufya. Mikufya isn't a common expression either, it's a Talmudic expression. What does mikufya mean? See? Mikufya. So mikufya, the term mikufya, pronounced mikufya, is an Aramaic phrase that originates from the Talmud. It typically means superficially or at a glance, implying a quick, cursory reading or understanding of a text without deep analysis. So the Rebbe is telling him that he looked it mikufya. He looked it over like real quick. I'm just showing you how the letters are now easy to figure out certain things. Rebbe says, thank you for your gift. And the Rebbe says, I thank you double if you will instruct those who listen to you, do your will, to provide for me your other sefarim, his other books. He sent one to the Rebbe. And the Rebbe says, in a separate package, I sent to you some of the books of our publishing that we published. For sure, you will be interested in them, as the contents, the very special content that is in those sforim. And the Rebbe says, with honor and with blessing. And the Rebbe first makes several notes here. And note number one. The number one is a general note. Apparently, he wrote the book in a big format. And the Rebbe is explaining to him that nowadays, people are always on the go, and people don't have so much dedicated space for Svarim. So the Rebbe suggests to him, while the print and the layout and the everything is beautiful, but the Rebbe suggests to make it in a pocket size, or not pocket size, make it in a smaller size. The Rebbe says like this, our period that we're living in, to our dismay, isn't like the earlier generation. That over there, it was relative, people were relative relaxed. They did not move around so much, and similar to that. So the Torah and the Sforim had the most important place in the house of each individual. Even those who didn't understand that was written in them, they still placed the books, the Sforim, in a most honorable place. And all other things were pushed away from before them, willingly and wantingly. In other words, they made a respectable place for the Sforim to lie there. But therefore, now, when the situation changed, in my view, it's a mitzvah, it's an obligation, that all those that publish Sforim about Torah and mitzvahs, or Yirush and Yerushamayim, fear of heaven, or similar, to print it in a way which is easy to be used, to be able to move it easily from one dwelling to the next dwelling, to a smaller book, a library, a smaller books. Any lacking in the ease of using the Sefer, that might prevent many from acquiring, purchasing the Sefer and studying or reading in it. It becomes, you got to make everything easily accessible. And so, might say, well, if they don't want to take the Sefer, then it's not for them. But the Rebbe says, no. Also, on these people, we should not give up on them. If they don't want to buy a big Sefer, and as the verse says, quotes the verse from Koheles, that you never know who is going to be fitting. Don't give up on anyone, basically. That's King Solomon said that. And as the Rebbe says, he might have, maybe the person himself may not have interest, but maybe his children will be very interested. So when the Rebbe is saying to you, make it accommodate the customers, so that make it easy for them. If you make it easy, you'll give more people a chance, more people interested, you'll give them more people to attend. Now, of course, when he wrote it in a large, he made a large print, made it beautiful. So the Rebbe says, although you get a yasher koach, may your power be strengthened, your honor, that you made it beautiful of the sefer. Inside looks beautiful. You made indexes externally. It looks, the letters, the paper, everything looks beautiful. But the format, the size of the svarim is in big contradiction to the above. Meaning you have beautiful letters, you have beautiful paper, but it's so large that it conflicts. And the Rebbe says, I saw all this, practically speaking, vividly, I see it in the distribution of the Sefarim that have been published in the Kohos publication in a large and smaller version, that the smaller versions, I guess, sells a lot more, a lot better than the larger version, because people would rather have the smaller version. Yeah. Number two, the Rebbe says, the Sefer Chassidim, the edition of Bologna. And if you take a look in the
Bologna?
In Bologna, that was printed over there. Version, the publication of Bologna, that was the one that has been published that was the most published one, and it was accepted. And it has been basically consecrated, the earlier and later ones. That's the version. That's what they went by, and that's what they made holy. Basically, that's the trust in that. So, the Rebbe says, therefore, it's obvious. If there is ever a contradiction or a change, so you need to decide in action as that version, because the Bologna version is the version we go by, and not like the other manuscripts, which you can only use for clarification of the matters, or similarly when you need to bring out from them, but that doesn't remain the main version. Especially, the Rebbe says, according to the idea that the Bologna version is the last version, so that means that is taken. Whenever time you have in halacha, we say we go by the later one, because we say the later one must have seen the earlier one and he still changed it, so that we go by the later one. So in any event, the Rebbe says that's the main one. And therefore, the Rebbe says, when you publish the Sefer Chassidim, which goal is in action, lemaisa, that's what you're doing, so people should rule by it, you need to publish it specifically by the version of Bologna. That's what you have to use there. And the Rebbe says to reinsert those pieces that were taken out by the censor. The censor used to take out. They could not publish Jewish book without the censor first going through it. And any time they found any objection to what was written in the book, they took it out. So, of course, you have to bring back those pieces omitted by the censor. But the version remains the version of Bologna. But the Rebbe says, notwithstanding, I realize that it's a tremendous benefit to bring in this publication the changes that are in the other manuscripts and to explain them, etc., to show the differences. Yes, that's very important. That enlightens, that clarifies a lot of great benefit. But the text, the source, needs to be the version of Bologna, because that was the authenticated and that was used. Okay, so that's a second general thing. First of all, was the size, and second of all was the version of it. Now, in the Tzavot, they call it he gave like a last will before his passing. He gave a Tzavot, he gave his last will, and the Rebbe says, in your publication, it's Sif Aleph, it's section 1. And the Rebbe just references, look also the ruling of the Tzemach Tzedek, to Shulchan Aruch Yerideyeh, references the Tzemach Tzedek, and also the responses of the Tzofnas Paneach to the Agachavar Goen in chapter Kuf 128. Some of the things that he instructed before that are some things that we do today, or some of them we are not so sure. Like, for example, he said that you should not marry a girl that has the same name of the chassan, or the kala has the same name of her mother-in-law, or the chassan has the same name of the father-in-law. You should not marry if they have the same name. So the question is, are we actually today careful about it? Do we worry about it? Some of the tzavos, some of his instruction of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, we don't really practice today. But this is a question. The Rebbe says, references this Dei Chemes, Mareches Chomos of Akala Simen Koten Yud. In many cases, what you do, we add an additional name. And here's another problem you can avoid, that, you know, naming your children sometimes, if you had the same name, and you know, and the parent is still alive, and you can't name it after, you want to name it after the grandparent, so that would be a problem if the names are the same. But anyways, that's something which the Rebbe references. Look in Zdei Chemed. Now, the Rebbe continues that in the Sefer, so I guess he had the Tzavoa, that's the last will, sort of the Sefer Chassidim. Then in the Sefer itself, so the Rebbe is pointing out to him that he went into a great detail explaining what is a chassid. You know, what is a chassid? He explained. He went into great detail. So the Rebbe says, the Rebbe is going to point out that definition of a chassid is not important at this part of the Sefer Chassidim in this chapter, because sometimes people use the word chassid in a broader term, not too precisely. When you want to say religious person, you would say a chassid. Like sometimes today in the modern Hebrew, they will call them charedim, the charedi, the religious people. The term chassid can mean, in a broad term, meaning basically religious people. The author, this Rabbi Price, he went in this part, and he went into what does exactly mean chassid. So the Rebbe says to him that in the publication of Mikitzei Nirdomim. That's another, they published the book Sefer Hasidim as well. In the notes over there, and over there it's for the chapter 575, Tovkufayin Hei. Over there he brings down from various places in the Talmud and the earlier Rishonim, in which the description of a Chosid, and the Rebbe further references the Shari Kedusha, Reb Chaim Vital, in the end of chapter 1 about this. But the Rebbe says, in my view, at this point, this is not the place to explain what a Chosid is, as opposed to later on in chapter 575 and later, in which he goes in specifically to a Chosid, because at this point, the author, the Sefer Hasidim, Rabbi Yehuda Chosid, did not come to explain what a Chosid is. And therefore, he's not giving us the title, the meaning of exactly what a Chosid. He uses it in a borrowed way. He includes it, all those who fear Hashem, even those that would not be qualified to called a Chasidim, according to the precise interpretation of the description of Chasidim. Over here he talks about generally people who are fearing of Hashem, religious people. Because in this point, he is turning to all those who fear Hashem, all those who consider Hashem's name, and he's telling that it's for them that he's writing the book. So the Rebbe says it's not appropriate at this point to go into the Chosid, because that's not the meaning over here. We're not talking about very specifically about the Chosid. And the Rebbe says like this, he does write, he says a Chosid, this is quote from the Sefer Hasidim, a Chosid is one, that he says, whose heart goes, as we'll see in a minute, what he means. But the Rebbe says he's not here to explain what a chassid and what chassidus is. What he's saying is as follows. This is what he's saying. Sometimes there is a great chassid in Torah and Maisim, a righteous one. He studies Torah, does good deeds. But there is a chassid that he has a desire to do so, but he never had a tradition, and he never really understood on his own how to be a chassid, what to do about chassid. He doesn't have the training, he doesn't have the tradition, and he does not know what to do. And therefore, because he doesn't know, so then he's missing in action. So it's not only in righteousness, because he doesn't know how to do, and is also that would be punishable if you don't do just because you don't know. So that's why he says, I say, quoting him, I'm going to write this book for them. So Rabbi Yehuda Chosid was coming to fill in for those who don't have a tradition to help them how to do things and how to behave, just because they're lacking somebody who taught them, or they couldn't figure out themselves from the book. He is going to tell them how to act religiously, but he's not talking specifically about what a chassid is. Therefore, the Rebbe is making his comment over there. It's a pretty strong comment that for him to go through and try to find the definition of a chassid, this is not what we're talking about over here. Here we're talking about somebody that he's writing this book for those who don't have a tradition and they want to do what's right. And we're not only talking something in the heart, we're talking about practically. That's why he's writing the Sefer. Another comment the Rebbe makes in chapter 410 with regards to Kriyas HaTorah, the Rebbe makes a reference to the Tzofnas Paneach and the Rambam in the Laws of Tefillah, chapter 12. In Siman chapter 549, So sometimes we say, when we speak, we say present, like we say Baruch Atah. Atah means you. That means that we're talking to Hashem directly. We're saying you. So Hashem is in front of us. Noichach is present. But sometimes we talk about Elohim. He is not in presence. We're talking about him. That's called the Nistar. We're not directly in the language of the Brachas. So the Rebbe also gives many references. In the Zohar, volume 3, page 289a, in the Tikkuni Zohar, on 439, the Sefer HaBohir in 183 through 184, and also in the Svarim that have been referenced in the notes of Rabbi Avrom Sheyichya Margolis, Ruvain, was in the notes of this Rabbi Margolis, and the Rebbe says to add to them, and the ones that you had, the Shvile Haleket HaSholem in chapter 165, Priyetz Chaim, Shar Beis, Simon Pei Beis, the Kutta Torah, the Alter Rebbe, different references. And then in the end of the Sefer, this chapter 600, so he says about a sin over there. The Rebbe says, what is the sin they're discussing? The Rebbe says, simply is moving mukse and eating and untying a knot. And the Rebbe says already that he saw in the notes of the Mishnah's Chassidim that he references the Mogen Avraham in chapter 638 and Prima Godim and the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch Simon Yud Ches. Anyways, these are all the various different notes the Rebbe brings there.